McKenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning once again, and welcome back to another episode of Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbor, Carol Pesci, and myself. I'm Frankenberry. And ladies, how are we doing this morning?
Doing ducky.
Ducky. I think I'm doing pretty ducky, too. It's a short week. I know people are listening to us on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, but in reality, it's a couple of days before the holiday. And, you know, it's short weeks are always exciting. Like back when you were a kid and you knew you were going to have a school day or a vacation. Kind of like that.
A long, long weekend. Speaking of school days, when kids right now who are not going to the classroom, what happens when it snows? Do they get snow days? Like that was like one of the best experiences ever as a kid, I think. Snow days.
Oh my God. Do you remember like the night before, like doing a little prayer and a little dance to make okay. And then listening, remember back then you would listen to the radio and they would
yep.
We're really dating ourselves right now.
Oh, I know. And I was spack and kill. And that was, man, it took forever to get to that letter S.
I was Arlington. Woohoo!
You know, the one thing I remember was when you knew that you were going to get a snow day, or at least you hoped, you had a pretty good idea that it was going to happen. And I've always been a guy that's given the opportunity, I will stay up all night. And that was the one thing that excited me. I was like, man, I can watch some of these late night TV shows, the talk shows, and I can kick back and I don't have to get up in the morning. But yeah, that was my favorite part about snow days was the night before.
Well, did you ever do that, Frankenberry, and then get screwed the next day by Mother Nature?
Oh, of course. Yes. And by Mother Nature and by my own mother. All right, Steven, you're going to pay for it now, but you got to get up.
Oh, no, boy.
You know what blue chunks is when you only got a 2-hour delay and not the whole day off.
Oh, yeah.
That's totally.
Say that again?
When you remember getting just a 2-hour delay sometimes and the whole day off, that totally blew. But I don't know. So, 2020, as we wind it down, has obviously been just the weirdest year in probably all of our lives.
Oh, my gosh.
And I can't wait. I mean, everybody keeps like waiting to usher it out, like all of a sudden everything's going to be great on January 1st, 2021. I don't see it that way.
No.
But we do have to look at our present situation a little bit like we look at life. You know, from the moment you're born, you're kind of dying. Well, you know, 2020
is cut it out.
But I mean,
can
you
rephrase that, please?
All right. Okay.
What the heck?
All good things must come to an end, including 2020.
Anything else cheerful you want to add?
Sunshine and rainbows. That's what we're
going to do. Oh, my gosh.
Billboard.
Sorry. I know. I'll come back next week with a better attitude. But yeah. So anyway, the point is, I don't know in this new normal, one of the many phrases of 2020 that I can't stand. I don't think there is such a thing as snow days anymore with kids going virtual. Because even look at it this way. Even if the kids were going to class, because we now know and have done virtual, if it snows, why wouldn't everybody just log on and you're still having a day of school?
Right.
Yeah, good point.
You know, thank God we grew up in the Stone Ages with the dinosaurs, like tablets, because we didn't have to worry about that.
That's right. I still have my favorite club.
Your favorite club?
Yeah. When you go out, you know, hunting and gathering. Beat the
Do
animals
they still
with.
Have textbooks and all that, or is it all like online, like digital books? Remember the freaking book bags we used to have to carry?
I used to love the books. I used to love the stink of the books. Remember how used, because all your textbooks were used. Like
right.
Back, didn't buy them back then, except maybe in college you did. They were given
book
to you.
Stink. You and liked then, book stink.
I liked book stink. And you know, and they had other people's like highlights in them. Remember that? I don't know if they have books. How weird is that we don't know whether they have actual textbooks anymore in school?
Well, because we're all childless old people. So.
Exactly.
No, but we ain't old people. How about,
well,
we ain't old, comma, people.
even though you just said yourself that we're dating ourselves. Yes, I know.
So now we got 2 out of 3 people here who like the smell of books. Frankenberry, that's a thing for you too.
Oh yeah. Oh, I was a huge reader, and I didn't, you know, textbooks were textbooks. I actually, you know, the first thought that comes to my mind is how packed my freaking locker was, you know, with all the books that we had.
Yep. But I remember you telling me that you loved the smell of a bookstore.
Oh, without a doubt. And my parents even had, when I was young, it didn't last very long, but they actually had for a very short period of time a used bookstore. And man, I love that place.
Oh, cool.
How very cool. Hey, do you guys remember covering your books with grocery bags?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And it was mandatory that you had to cover the books, which was kind of messed up because the books stunk anyway. But yeah, and making book covers out of the paper bags was
cool.
And
well, but it also it gave you a canvas too. That was the best part.
100%.
Yeah.
And then do you remember what the equivalent of texting was when we were in school?
Notes.
Passing notes.
Passing notes, all folded up like a little triangle.
With sometimes with questions and little check boxes. Yes, no. Do you like me? Yes, no.
Oh my God. And then writing your name on the grocery bag cover in a heart with your boyfriend's name, like, you know, Phil, Jana, or then writing your first name and your boyfriend's last name like you were going to get married. Oh.
Yep. That did it.
I really miss my pet pterodactyl. Oh boy.
Your pet pterodactyl.
Yes. We really are talking old school right now.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I hear you.
We can talk about some.
All right, yeah. So I took us on this tangent. So the point was, like, short week, exciting school, and then we went on to snow days. But Frankenberry, you don't have a totally short week, do you?
No, I'm going back to work. I'm just off Thursday. That's all. And then I'm back. Okay. I'm back in on Friday.
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
So you guys know that, and it's mostly my husband, is a Christmas freak.
Yes.
So the whole thing, the Christmas village, we do a live tree plus 2 fake trees and Christmas decorations everywhere.
Can I just interject, and without you losing the point of your story, I just have to tell the whole world in case want to rob your house. You have a beautiful, home, and you make it even that much more beautiful around the holidays. So I don't blame him for being a Christmas freak. Anyway, continue. Well,
that's okay. Thank you. But doing that, we kind of usually have to start early because there's quite a bit of work involved. And last year we got good at it, year before even better. This year it was like it hit November 1st and we're like, screw it. We're going to start. But I feel like we're not alone this year. Have you guys noticed either Facebook or your friends or driving down the street that's more of a thing this year? People are like, this year sucked. We're going to enjoy Christmas. And people are really getting their stuff up early. Have you noticed that?
No.
I noticed a couple of houses that seemed to be a little bit early to me, but for the most part, I haven't noticed anything out of the ordinary.
Maybe it's just my weird friends then on Facebook.
Well,
Jana, wait a minute. Are you going to pull out your majestic tree this year? Your fully decorated lit tree?
I have no place to put it. My house is still very much in the middle of a renovation. So my majestic Christmas tree is in storage with the rest of my life. But let me ask you something. Let me ask you, maybe you could give me a 60-second coaching session, because I was watching commercials on TV. I was watching TV last night, and the commercials were very Christmas oriented on the HGTV network, which is all I watch now.
And Bravo,
but mostly HGTV for the moment. So they were advertising like very celebratory commercials, like for champagne and holiday sweaters and holiday shows and all this stuff. And I said to myself, these commercials are acting like we're going to have a normal holiday season and normal Christmas. And then I started getting mad at the TV because I don't think we are. But at the same time, maybe they're trying to help pull us out of this funk by reminding us just how wonderful the holidays can be when we're not in a pandemic and life is so weird as it is right now. So my question is, should we force ourselves to act like Christmas is going to be just as wonderful as it always is, and then it will be? Or is it just simply going to be wonderful no matter what kind of things are going on around us? What's the
Okay, so here's what I think. I think it's an answer that really depends on your situation. I know for a fact that there are look, you don't always get to choose your family, right? And I have a great family, in-laws and my family. I'm lucky, good people. But I know a number of people that start stressing probably August, September, in anticipation of having to be around family and extended family they do not like. So I'm going to say that the potential exists for some people are like, thank you, Corona. And they're going to be staying home with their primary family and not going to large gatherings. And they'll be quite happy about it.
Yeah. And I would agree with some of that as well. And Jonna, I have noticed the same thing. And I've noted almost angrily as well, the same thing with some of those commercials that, you know, try to present us that everything is normal, you know, and that we're not in the middle of a pandemic that is indeed going to affect the holidays. I'm sorry, it is what it is. I mean, people can do the best they can.
Sorry.
I mean, like me, Carol asked me earlier what I was doing for Thanksgiving in a couple of days, and I'm staying home. And my sister, you know, she doesn't expect me to come to the house. My mom doesn't expect me to come to the house. And I'm staying at home with the girls. That's all.
I mean, and you're okay with that. Like, that's right. Not punishment for you. You're happy about that. And I do say, we've talked about this before. Has it been challenging? 100%. And for some people more than others, and challenging in different ways. But there is an element about what we've been forced into that could open up opportunities for us to experience things in a more basic, simplistic way. Maybe you don't have the money you had last year for gifts, but can you get creative? Can you write letters to each other? Can you write little stories? Can you play games? Can you do the best with what you have that makes it more meaningful if it was just about spending money and big parties?
Very interesting way to look at it. Or you can look at it another way, like, well, we've got no place to go. Some people don't have a lot of money. They can't see their relatives. We're probably all going to die. So what's the point of being happy about it?
Oh, my God. Frank and Mary, do you remember when we talked about Carol's big bubble world? And it would be like everything's pink and everybody's happy walking around. Then there's a little mini John and she's walking around with a big fat pin popping the pink bubbles.
Yeah, I knew some wisdom from Sunshine and Rainbows was coming there when she opened her mouth.
Oh my God.
I know. Well, I'll tell you what was making me the most resentful is that they were depicting people out and about without masks like the good old days 8 months ago.
Exactly.
At parties, at restaurants, toasting, wearing fancy clothes, laughing, Christmas trees, Christmas presents, and I'm like, nobody's going to be doing that ish this year because we're not allowed to. And that was making me mad.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And it's, well, and we're not going to be doing it this year because it's not safe to either. So, yeah, I mean, they're presenting a reality that doesn't exist.
Right.
Listen, let me tell you about my reality, kids. My reality is going to be in my pajamas all day at home with just my husband and my dog. And let me tell you something. I'm quite happy about that.
It sounds nice.
I'm good. Maybe even flannel, Jonna. Maybe flannel.
Well, since this is an upside down year, fine. Flannel's fine, I suppose.
Hey, if you're going to be wearing jammies, they got to be flannel there, Spielborg.
Listen, Linda. My jammies are yoga pants. They don't make yoga pants in flannel. So there. But don't forget the wine. You got, did I tell you guys before I know we're going to have to introduce our guest here in a second, but I have something. This is kind of funny. I'm going to out my mother as being a gigantic liar. did. So this is funny because you guys know briefly, in case anybody doesn't, I'm temporarily residing in my parents' basement while my house is getting a complete renovation. So as such, I've been spending even more time than I normally do. We're very close, and I see them quite often when I live in my own house, but now I'm with them basically 24/7. Anyway, my mother was excitedly talking in front of my father to me about how she was ordering holiday wine, Christmas wine. She was going to stock up on one of our favorite wines because the holidays are here and you know you're going to drink it and blah, blah, blah. My father was in the corner on his computer and he chimed in because he overheard and he said, whoa, 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 whoa. You ordered 2 cases of wine? And she's like, yeah, so what? 2 cases of wine? How much did 2 cases of wine run me? Now, my mother spouts off an amount that I know as a purchaser of the very same wine by the case is half as much as the actual price that she paid. Did it, Carol and Frankenberry, with such a straight face that I was like, holy crap. She's good at this. She is. And a cop, he didn't even miss a beat. She didn't even have to think about it. She didn't break a sweat. And then my father bought it hook, line, and sinker. So I was looking at my mother like, wow. And I was looking at my father like, whoa. And that was that. Yeah, caught her right in the act all these years.
Did you out her?
Nope. I ain't going to out her. No way. No way. I'm going to learn from her. That was, you know.
Well, I think you should hold on to this one, Jonna. This is a little something that you keep in your quill for future reference.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, like a little.
Well, black. And you don't want to be making one of your parents angry with you this close to Christmas.
No, no, it's good to have a little blackmail material on your parents, and it's also good to have a parent who could pass a lie detector in case I ever need to do so myself. So it's a win-win, I say.
That's great.
All right. So
win-win.
So who do we have today, by the way? What's that?
It's win-win. It's like a 50-50, right?
Oh. Good. You're good. Okay. So speaking of 50-50, when we come back to the break, I am loving, you know, we've just had a whole spate recently of guests that represent our way of sort of thinking outside the box. And we have with us, when we come back from the break, a new author and life coach. Her name is, I'm going to pronounce it Sherry, but it could be Shari. Her last name is Weed. And she is actually, she's a former litigator. I didn't learn that until this morning. And she is the author of The 50-50 Friendship Flow, Life Lessons from and for My Girlfriend. And apparently she's like sort of penned a memoir / sort of diary / workbook about friendship and how important it is and what we can learn from it, and really taking a deep dive into friendship, especially between women. And I'm really excited to talk to her because I think especially now more than ever with people feeling isolated and all that's going on, this could be just what the doctor ordered. So when we come back, we're going to be talking with Sherry Weed, author of The 50-50 Friendship Club.
All right. That sounds good. You've got Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci on K104. And we will be back in just a few with our guests. So please stick with us.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here on K104. It's Jonna Spilbore. It's Carol Pesci. It is myself, and it is the second segment, and it is time now to get to our guest, and I'm sure that Jonna has the glowing introduction for us.
Yeah, like I said before the break, I am really excited because this is just such an interesting project that our guest has reduced into a book so that we can all enjoy it. And we're going to talk to her all about it in a second. Her name is Sherry Weed. And I did not know this until this morning. She is basically a recovering lawyer. That's what I like to call lawyers. Who go out and kind of live their dream after law. And she's a former litigator, and she owns and operates a business called, and I love the name of this business, An Imperfectly Perfect Life. As a professional life coach, essentially serving women and helping guide them towards recognizing their power, which is so important. She is the author of her new book, which is called The 50-50 Friendship Flow, Life Lessons From and For My Girlfriends. And we're going to get into that right about now. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, this is really great because one of the things that I noticed is your book is special in that you went out. Well, why don't we start at the beginning? Tell us how you even thought of the idea behind this book.
Sure. Well, you know, actually, I attended a friend's memorial service, and at her service, people had a chance to stand up and talk about her. And there are so many people, some I knew, some I didn't, that stood up and told stories, said how she impacted their lives. And this was all great, but they were talking about her and they never said these things to her. So I happened to be between my 49th and 50th birthday. So I decided that's pretty big. So I needed to do something. And I decided to challenge myself to meet with 50 women who are in my life, some new acquaintances, some lifelong friends, for the sole purpose of telling them what they brought to my life, what they've taught me, just from meeting them and having them in my life.
What a beautiful thing.
I think that's incredible. And did you have in your head, like, did you say, okay, listen, I'm going to find 50 of my friends and acquaintances, and then I'm going to compile it all into a book and share? Or was your original purpose just to feel good and maybe have other people feel good? How was that born?
Yeah, I wasn't planning for this to be a book. It was just kind of my personal goal. And these were all, you know, this is before COVID. So this was all in-person meetings. And because I'm an oversharer, I was sharing these on Facebook while I was meeting them. But to my surprise, I was getting such a huge response from others reading these stories about these little dates as I shared what each woman brought to my life, that this kind of organically grew into, hey, let me put this down and let me share this in a bigger format. And it became the book.
Sherry, this is Carol. You've done something so beautiful and so powerful. And I said to Jonna when she sent this to me that you were coming on, I'm like, this is a really good topic because I suck at this. Like, I suck at maintaining relationships. But what you've done here, look, Jonna and Frank and Barry and I are all big on being like acts of kindness and being kind towards other people. When you express appreciation for someone in your life, it's a double whammy because number one, you are practicing gratitude for yourself, and it's also in a way an act of kindness to that other person to let them know how your life is better because of them.
Yes, you know, it's we talk to our friends, but we never talk about our friendship. And so, especially because I was writing these things down and putting them on Facebook, as I went along in this project, I couldn't help but feel gratitude for everyone who came into my life. And it's such a variety of women from their late 20s to their early 60s, of every race, every, you know, economic background, different education levels. So when I start to actually see that, it was a gift back to me.
Sherry, can I ask you, so how did it go, like, logistically? Like, for example, I'm sitting here as you speak, and I'm like, who, do I even have 50 people, you know, would I know how to get a hold of 50 people to schedule dates? But I'm wondering, like, did you call, let's say you had one that wasn't a good friend. The good friends are easy. Mm-hmm. Let's say you had to pick up the phone and go, hey, hi, Sherry here. Want to go for coffee and let me interview you, or I want to examine our, like, what? How did you word it to get them to go?
Yeah, because it could be an awkward conversation, right? Because I was posting these things, people started to get used to this from me. And in fact, I kind of felt bad at not calling some people. But once I was able to frame this in the form of, hey, this is a challenge for me. Because people want you to complete a challenge, you know, whether or not you set up to meet with 5 people, 10 people, or 50, people just naturally want you to complete something. And so once they knew that I was framing this as a challenge for me, and actually, you know, because I didn't know this was going to become a book, I would ask people to meet for happy hour. So that was a good draw.
Oh, yeah. Not even me. So I know that there's some items that you have in the book. Like, for example, you say that there are steps to the challenge, basically. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, I encourage people to do this. And like I said, it could be with, you know, either 5 people, 10 people, or whatever number you set within a set period of time. I chose a year. And step one is to set the date. I'm actually doing this a second time around, this time on Zoom. But the first time was in person. So number one, set a date. 2, set your intention. Think about what you want to say to that person, or what questions you want to ask. Number 3, when you get there, you know, share what you've learned from them. Share what the friendship means. And then 4 is listen. Ask them their story. Find out, you know, I've learned so much about my friends, even friends I've known since I was in my early 20s that I didn't know before because of these meetings. And step 5, the last step, which I think is the most important, is to somehow record the meeting. It doesn't have to be on Facebook or social media. It could be in a journal or you know, whatever works for you. But I think that 5th step of recording it is so important, because that's the reflection piece. And that is really the piece that, you know, once I started to do that, it's really impossible not to really live in gratitude for all the people that have come into your life.
You know, this is so fantastic, because I think that, you know, we're living in a time where there's a whole lot of focus on our differences and our different views. And I think that something we all share is we want to know we matter. We want to know that our lives and our time here matters. And I'm a little bit laughing to myself here, because I have very good friends that a couple of years ago, thankfully, I wasn't part of this, decided to get together, their brothers and their wives and everybody, and they each had to write a eulogy about each other. And one of them was like, I'm so dreading this because it's so morbid. But the fact of the matter is, you're kind of doing that, but in a much lighter, brighter way. You're giving people, setting the stage that they can show their appreciation for somebody while they're still here, and not having it be a eulogy.
Yes, and I love what you said about, you know, being able to find something that's not focused on our differences. And I've said this year, you know, because if Justice Scalia and Justice Ginsburg could have been friends and enjoyed each other's company, then we all can. We could focus on those common stories, as opposed to the little things, or sometimes maybe the big things that divide us.
That's a really great point. And I love that this is something, I mean, you know, the way you write about it in your book is something that people can enjoy, but this is something that people can go out and do for themselves, whether it's 50 or, like you said, or whether it's 5. And I'm going to guess, and I'm sure you can let us know, like, when you got done with this project, not only did I imagine you must have had deeper friendships with all of the people that you met with, but they must have had deeper, I mean, if they go on and pay it forward and they do it with other people in their lives, and maybe just being an overall feeling of well-being from doing this, not just deepening the friendships, but deepening, what's the word I'm trying to use? Just your own kind of self-actualization. It just seems like that would be a byproduct of this, which a great byproduct.
It is, you know, and I've heard from people who started this project and they make it their own. I haven't heard anyone who's as crazy to try to meet with 50 people, but I've heard, you know, up to 20. And another woman I know is writing notes. That's more comfortable for her, but she's writing notes of gratitude and bringing little care packages to porches during you know, the pandemic. I love that different people are making this their own, but with that same spirit of acknowledging and recognizing and telling the people in their lives what they brought to their life.
You know, I feel like this project may have surprised you a little bit. I almost feel like this was the universe working its magic through you. Like, did you almost feel at some point that it took on a life of its own, like you were propelled?
I do. Every time I receive a message, I just had a message the other day from a woman who sent the book to her sister-in-law in Hungary. And her sister-in-law emailed her back saying that she started to do this challenge and she's meeting with girlfriends. And this is in Hungary. And I get these messages. And every time I do, I actually kind of have a physical reaction. I feel chills. So yes, oh, it surprised me. And it's the best thing. It makes me happy.
It reminds me, Carol, you might enjoy this. So Carol is an author as well and co-authored a book a little while back called Share This Journal. And the whole idea behind the book was that, you know, a person gets their hands on this book and then you kind of contribute to it. You can write in the journal something that you want to share. And then you leave the book so that somebody else can pick it up and also do it, or you can send the book to other people. And this, for some reason, is just reminding me of that. Like, there's just this pay it forward aspect that I'm really digging about your project here and what you wrote about.
Yes, and I just wrote that book down, Share This Journal. I'll look for it right after I speak with you. I love that idea. But yes, it's that same spirit.
Yes, exactly. And just so uplifting and so simple. Like, spending time with somebody is one of the best gifts you can give. And it, you know, essentially costs nothing. Unless it were me, then it would cost you like a margarita. But that's okay.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper the second round. I'm doing it on Zoom than the first time.
That's fantastic. I love your part. Sherry, so I'm interested. You're the second guest on our show, and the other one is actually a very dear friend of Jana's, who was a very successful attorney who lived in New York City, Heather Hansen, and also wrote a book and has since left New York City, moved where? To North Carolina, I think, Jana? Heather?
Yeah.
And now she wants to coach other women. So very successful in her career. And now she's taken the leap. I think she's probably finding it a whole lot more rewarding to help other women recognize and actualize their full potential. So can you speak for a moment about what it took to take that leap from being a litigator to doing what you do now? Did you wake up one night and like, I can't deal with this anymore? Or did you just follow the love in your heart? Like, how did that happen?
I decided I wanted to make people happy. Yeah. No, I'm kind of joking because I was an insurance defense attorney for a while and then a prosecutor before that. But actually I ended up staying at home with my kids for several years. My husband's also an attorney and we adopted a daughter that needed some therapies. She had a lot of appointments. And so one of us had to stay home. It became apparent and it was me. And by the time my kids now are both doing great and they're in college. And so I got to get to this time in life where I could decide what I want to do. You know, I keep my license. I keep my law license active just in case. But I found out about life coaching. I just feel I've had different things happen in my life, and they just felt like they were leading me towards this direction.
So tell me a little bit more about your coaching. Do you do one-on-one? Do you have classes? What's your focus?
You know, I work with women and it's all, even before the pandemic, all my appointments happen over Zoom or Skype. And it's interesting because I work with women typically between the ages of early 40s to early 60s. And a lot of it, it just so happens to be about life balance. I end up with a lot of women who are juggling, you know, very, very successful careers and also a home life and really struggling for balance. How to find happiness, actually, because I end up with a lot of women who I used to describe myself as a checklist person. I did everything in order, everything, you know, that was expected of me. And then you get to this certain point and you're kind of like, okay, well, what do I want? That's kind of where a lot of my clients are at.
The balance is so important. And I think especially women suffer historically from just not even thinking that they can have it, that balance is a thing for them. And then you add in, like, I have a lot of clients and even some staff who, during this pandemic, at least here on the East Coast, actually, you guys have it pretty bad on the West Coast too, with kids not going to school and the whole virtual classrooms, but you're in a two-parent family or even a one-parent family and the parents go out to work, but their kids now have to be stuck in front of a computer. And how do you deal with that? And it's been an incredible disruption in what we knew. But I think maybe the silver lining could be it forces us to find balance or we will just go bonkers.
Exactly. There's so many women that are trying, you know, that I work with are giving so much and their cup is empty. And so this pandemic, actually, you're right. This pandemic has forced them to see that they need to fill their cup and they need to figure out how to fill their cup. And so there is that silver lining. You know, sometimes we have to kind of fall down before we recognize how we need to really get up and rise.
And that's a mindset shift. We've been conditioned as women to be givers, and we are, and caregivers and providers, and that me being a good mom, wife, mother means putting ourselves last. That's how you earn your stripes in that role. And we just can't continue to do that anymore. I'm such a big advocate of exactly what you said, filling your own cup. When you serve yourself, there has to be a balance. You can't always say, kids, I'm going to lock in the bedroom for the rest of the day. I need my time. You know, you can't go to that kind of an extreme. But setting small boundaries. This is my time. I'm going to take a bath. You're fine for the next half hour or whatever it is for you. You're not only putting yourself in a better position to serve those you love when you are with them, because you've calmed yourself down, you're making yourself a priority. But I also think, especially for moms, when you do that, when you start saying this matters to me, I'm doing this is going to make me happy, you're teaching your children to do the same when they're adults. If you put yourself last all the time, guarantee you, your kids are going to be adults who do the same darn thing that you do, and you're going to be drained and they're going to be drained and exhausted like you are. So you're teaching them by doing that as well.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. And nourishing our friendships, especially our female friendships, you know, that's also a great role modeling for our children, especially our daughters.
Speaking of that, Sherry, before we wrap up, I just wanted to read a couple of lines from the intro of your book where you say, and this really sums it up, part of the beauty of your life's journey is the experience of the constant flow of people who come in and out of your life on a daily basis. Some people stay for a lifetime, others are here for a moment, and some may be in your life for just a chance 30-second meeting. This book is about the power of female friendships. The teachings can come in the form of inspiration, a life lesson, or a life blessing. So when people read your book, they're not only going to get to learn about your experiences, but they're going to learn how to do this for themselves with the 50-50 Friendship Flow Challenge. I think it will be absolutely life-changing for anybody who chooses to do so. It really just...
I love it. And I think it'd be a wonderful, and here's what I suggest to people. Yeah, I have a good girlfriend or a couple group of good girlfriends that to buy one for each of you. Don't just buy one for yourself. Buy one for each of you for Christmas this year or for the holiday season and commit to doing this with each other.
Yes, I love that. I love that. And I've heard of groups doing that and getting ready to do 2021 together in this way. And I think that's perfect.
You're going to start a movement, Sherry.
Let's hope. That'd be wonderful. It can only benefit all of us.
Exactly. So we're going to wrap up here with author and life coach and reformed litigator, Sherry Lee, author of the 50-50 Friendship Flow. Sherry, if people want to connect with you, coach with you, get the book, stalk you, how can they do that?
They can find me online at animperfectlyperfectlife.com and same on Facebook, Instagram, and all of the other social media outlets under the same name.
Love it. Congratulations again, Sherry.
Thank you so much.
And Sherry, before you go, before we started recording today, for those that are listening right now, Sherry had mentioned she was excited to be here and that she intended to listen to one of our older happy hour shows, and she listened to a bunch of them instead, and she loves us. So you can feel free to repeat that.
That is absolutely a true story. I couldn't stop listening. It took like half my Saturday afternoon.
We're gonna out Sherry because she didn't know whether this was gonna be a video call or just a regular call. So she did put on her eyelashes for the interview, and I think that eyelashes make every interview better, no matter what. So
yes,
yeah, and I am in full agreement. But thank you very much, Sherry, for joining us today. We certainly appreciate it. And Carol, Jonna, any last thoughts for Sherry here?
I can't wait to dive into the book. And I love Carol's idea on your book, Sherry. So thanks very much for being our guest today.
Thank you.
All right. You've got Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Thank you very much, Sherry, for joining us today. And we are not done yet this morning. So we'll be back with segment number three. So please hang around.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour one more time here this morning on K104 with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello,
Frank and Barry.
Well, Sherry was great, and like you said, Jonna, and you as well, Carol. What a unique idea and a great way to go about, you know, presenting us with people's stories and friendships and what they mean and the connections that we make.
No, she's really honest. Because how many times have you had? Well, first of all, I think Carol and I both do this. Like, I feel like I don't stay in touch as much as I want to or should with my friends because we always have an excuse that life gets busy. But how many friends do you have that you can call up if you haven't talked to them in a while and just the conversation is effortless, no matter how much time or how much distance? I don't let people know I appreciate that about them so much.
I would say for me, it's a short list. I don't have a big circle. I have a small, tight circle. But I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, taking that initiative to set, even if it's one a month. She doesn't have to be 50. She's an overachiever and an oversharer. But, it, you know, once a month or whatever works for you, to make it a point to choose someone in your life and let them know what you appreciate about them and how they've affected your life, is just, it's such a beautiful thing. But think about being the recipient of that. So she's talking about taking that initiative and doing that. But imagine if you're the one that gets that call and then someone Zoom calls you or meets with you or, and lets you know what you've done, you know, Jonna, like for, I could go on for you, Jonna, and you, Frank Gray, as well, what that would feel like to receive that. Be amazing.
Yeah. She's really on something. And you know, you had mentioned, our mutual friend Heather, who, like you said, was an attorney who became a coach during this pandemic. She packed up and moved to North Carolina. We interviewed her not that long ago because she's got her second book that she's just finishing up. She's the author of The Elegant Warrior. And it was funny because I have a friendship with her where, you know, we might not see each other for months, especially now that she's in North Carolina, but we could text each other or call each other, and it's like nothing. There's no time or space or anything that impedes our friendship. And she had actually written on Facebook this week that she, like you, Frank and Barry, she's going to be spending it alone. I think maybe a lot of people are going to be in that position for pandemic reasons or travel reasons, whatever. And this is her first Thanksgiving alone with her new puppy. So I instantly, like, I couldn't stop myself. I got her address, and I ordered flowers. I just wanted to send her something pretty to beautify her space and just say, you know what? There's no miles that can affect a friendship like ours. You know, have a great Thanksgiving. And I have left if I did not do that. She didn't ask for it. But it's nice to have it. There are, like you said, Carol, there are a few people in my life that I am that close with, you being one of them, Frank and Barry too, except you're not a woman, although you do have a lot of cats, and you know what they say about a lot of cats.
And I look good in a nice summer frock.
Right. But it's having deep friendships, I think, is just great in every way. And we probably need to nurture and respect those more, maybe going forward in the new year.
Yeah. And you know, like Carol said, I've also got, you know, when it comes to real close friends, I've got a fairly small circle as well. But, you know, the one thing, and I think I've mentioned this before here on the show, that the pandemic did bring about is that three of my friends, my best friends from college, you know, we could talk back and forth on occasion on Facebook. You know, we'll comment on a post here or there. We'll throw a heart out or a laughy face or whatever that is. But one of the four of us decided, you know what, how about we do a Zoom call? Everybody seems to be doing it. And I'll tell you what, being able to reconnect like that and, you know, remind myself of not just how great the past was, but how happy and proud I am of them now. You know, it's just, it's phenomenal. Last time we were on a Zoom call, we talked for 2.5 hours and we've got one set up for this coming, Thursday after the Thanksgiving holidays. So, you know, it is important, you know, and the pandemic has offered us the ability, or at least it's brought it about in our face. Hey, you know what? There are ways to connect and take advantage of them. Call that friend, you know, call that person that meant so much to you 20 years ago that you haven't talked to in 20 years now. And you never know. You could be surprised at just how nice a talk that could be.
I agree.
You know, and you said something about writing a letter. Who said that?
Writing a letter?
During the interview, I thought somebody said, writing a note.
She said her one friend doesn't go too deep into it. She writes notes.
Right. And you know what? Remember the power of that. There was one of my anniversaries with Craig that I really didn't know what the heck to get him. And I sat down and wrote him a beautiful love letter that he will have forever. And I know we text and I know we can call, which I avoid phone calls like the plague, John. I know you're the same. But don't forget the power of sitting down and writing a note to someone and mailing it to them that they can always pick up and look at.
That's true. And that's really given the gift of you, right? When you put your thought on something tangible that people can read, you know, and maybe that you wouldn't say face to face, or they can, you know, once you say something face to face, that's it, they're gone. And when you put it down on paper, like you said, that's something that you can resurrect and look at and, you know, enjoy for the rest of your life. That's really nice.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. I recently got off a phone call with a good buddy of mine who I talk to quite often, but I always remark that in my head, at least, that, you know, I would say in my head, you know, you're a better man than I, Gunga Din, because that guy deals with me. You know, he's been dealing with me spouting off and sounding like a crazy man for years. But, you know, I sat down a couple of weeks ago and I just wrote a post at my blog, just called to talk with a friend. And he was very appreciative of that. And those words are going to be there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Very, very nice.
And so you have a gift with words, Frank and Mary.
Oh, you do.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I guess we're going to have to wrap up. And I hope everybody has a nice Thanksgiving. I know by the time you hear this, Thanksgiving will be past. But, you know, this is going to be a different Thanksgiving. And I think it's more important than ever to give and you know, look, receive thanks, right? I mean, if our guest, that's one of the lessons I think our guest for today was gave us. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And appreciate what you do have.
Exactly. Well, ladies, it was nice spending time with you again. Thanks again to Sherry Lead for joining us today and being our guest. And you've been listening to Happy Hour here on K104. And you can catch episodes of Happy Hour at K104Online.com/Happy Hour. And we will be back again next Sunday. 7 o'clock is when we do it here. So please join us again. For Jonas Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and myself, this has been Happy Hour on K104. Have a good week.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Spilborg and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104Online.com.